Wrote up yesterday, discussing the sugya of ta'aninon. So the principle of ta'aninon is agreed upon by everybody that everyone's drawing evidence in Torah where one of the parties is just not in the position to represent themselves properly, either because they're yorshim or because it's just simply not around for other whatever technical reasons. And the question is, what role does Beis Din any have? So the Mishnah is ready to talk about this principle that Beis Din has to step up to the plate and put forth whatever tainus the person could have theoretically said, we're going to tie it on the behalf. That's the principle called tainus. The problem is that we find some possible exceptions to this rule. And one of the possible exceptions to this rule is actually Av Mishnah. So Av Mishnah describes a get that comes from Eretz Yisrael. The get is brought by the shaliach, presented to the husband's nowhere to be found. The shaliach is presenting the get. And all of a sudden, a red flag is raised by, wait a second, but the basic, wait a second. Maybe we should taina that this get is questionable. Maybe we should claim that this get perhaps is mezuyah. Maybe this is a forgery. Why in the world would we say such a thing? Well, the husband could have said such a thing. The husband would have come forth and actually said at the time, wait, don't give that get to my wife. I never authorized that get. That get's not an acceptable. It's not a legitimate get. The husband would have been believed to say such a thing. And that would have forced us to do what we call kiyum shtaris. We would have had to go bring in witnesses to testify to make sure that the get is actually up to par. So that whole ball rolling of tainus mezuyah, maybe we should do it on behalf of the husband. Maybe we should say ta'aninon. So the Mishnah says no. The Mishnah says explicitly that's not the din. The Mishnah says maybe get buried Yisrael. If the husband's yelling and screaming, then we'll deal with it. If the husband's not here, not screaming, we're not gonna raise any red flags in this yet. So Tos says to Tasha, why not? Why don't we do ta'aninon? So says Tosfos, it must be that because we should be guna kidlub rabbana. We don't want to get into the practice of disqualified gidna. That's not our goal. We want to help this woman remarry, not to make life harder for her. So there was a special quirk, a special kula that the Chacham built into the system, not to say taninon that something is mezuyah, not to say taninon that the document is a forgery. But if not for gidna, says Tosfos, if it would have been just simple, plain didi mamonis, I walk into Beis Din with the shtar and you're not around, and Beis Din's trying to figure out should we claim Tanina? Should we claim Mezuyah? Absolutely. Why not? Why shouldn't we say Mezuyah? Why is a forgery any less than any other Taina that we do say Tanina on? And then Tosfos backpedaled a little bit. And then says, you know, that's for sure. Maybe this kind of Mezuyah, there's something fishy, something funny about this claim of Mezuyah, the shtar is a forgery, that we shouldn't say Taninan on. It also never told us what that fishy point is, what that quirk is. So that's really where we left off yesterday, trying to isolate, trying to understand what is the issue? Why should we or should we not say Taninan on Titus? What's wrong? What's deficient about Titus Mezuyah? So the Tosfos Rosh, we saw at the very end of the shiur yesterday. So let's take a look at the third of the Rabbi Kumbus once again. So the bold print, where the Tosfos Rosh adds to what Titus is missing. The bold print, the third of my Makamos, Umilsa de lo shchiach lo tanin lo liyaseinu. Something which is very unlikely, something which is very uncommon, we're not going to say taninan on that. The Beis Din can and should and must step up to the plate and represent people's interests. They cannot do so themselves. That's the sugi, that's the parasha of taninan, but sisters, the brakes are put onto it. We're not going to say taninan every crazy mishigas. If and when it appears to be a legitimate taina, a likely taina, a fairly common taina, then we're going to say taina. If it's not common, if you yourself are here and you say it, we have to deal with it. But we're not going to go up to for you. We're not going to represent you on something that appears to us to be a milsa d'loshmicha. So that's Tosfos's first suggestion. And then it Tosfos Rosh goes on to a second suggestion. The second suggestion is really going to carry us through for today's sugya. So Tosfos Rosh continues, the own. Kavan the kiyum shtaros mid the rabbanon, kidabini begemara, misveika lo tanina mishumadim mezuyav. says to us is before we discuss Tarminon, let's discuss the actual cases of the actual time itself. I come to you with a document that says you owe me $1,000. There is no question under the sun that you have a right to respond. That shtar is a forgery, forcing me to bring witnesses to identify the witnesses on the document. There is no question whatsoever, shayas and gemaras throughout shas, that you have the right to respond at mizuyim. The question is, where did that right come from? What is the source in halacha for that response? We know that all dinei Torah, ilam mishpatim, all dinei Torah are made up of taimas. I have a claim against you, you have a response, you have someone's account to claim. And the ilam mishpatim teaches us that the beis din has to sort out all the information, figure out, is his claim correct? Did he break the window? Did he not break the window? Did he buy the money? Did he not buy the money? Did he hire him to work? That's what beis din has to do. So it's my word against your word, and we try to find Edi, we try to find Erechad, we try to find robes, we have Shulas, we have a whole system of Dini Mavadis. That's all of Pashat HaMishpatim that were given to the Mashiach Rabbeinu HaNasi. The Yel Mishpatim doesn't have. And the Torah gives us all the guidelines, all the rules as to how to go about running a Din Torah. So this Din Torah that's not taking place in front of the Beis Din, I claim to you, you owe me $1,000. I have a shtar, a document that says that you owe me $1,000. And you respond, no, that document is mezuzah. That document is a forgery. Who should win that din Torah according to the regular rules of Parshas HaMishpatim? Who has the upper hand in that din Torah? So Gemara says a little bit later on, the Gimel HaMasech is Gittin, it's going to be a theme we're going to constantly open come back to this year. Min HaTorah, Eidim HaChasumim Al Ashtar, Nasu Kibisha Nechkara Edusan Beveis Din. If you have Eidim that are signed on a document, that is tantamount to having Adam testify in court that the other fellow owes you $1,000. So what does the Torah have to say about that? Then I have two witnesses that say that Reuben owes Shimon $1,000. I know what the din is. We just read it 2 weeks ago. Two Adam just testified that he owes $100. The other guy saying, Mizuyah. The other guy saying, it's a forgery. It's not true. The whole thing is not true. Min HaTorah, that response is Dvarim B'Talim. Min HaTorah, that response is absolutely worthless. That's about as worth something as I have two witnesses who say that you broke my window, and you say, no, it's not true, the witnesses are lying. Very nice. Obviously, if I have two witnesses supporting me, I'm going to win the din Torah. If I have a shtar, so that shtar, Min HaTorah, is like an edus, and therefore, I win the din Torah hands down. Min HaTorah, no question whatsoever. That's the goal, that's the rule. Eidim HaChasum al shtar. However, mid the Rabbanon, Chazal said, there are a few people out there who are a little bit mechutzah, a little bit, you know, gutsy, and they may go ahead and forge documents. Rashi says on the spot, min HaTorah, you don't have to worry about that. The odds that somebody's forging a document is such a crazy thing. People don't do those things. But Chazal said, you know what? Even though Min HaTorah, we don't have to worry about it, we're looking around and we see it happens every once in a while. And therefore, Chazal changed the Din Min HaTorah, so to speak. Now, what gives them the right to change the Din Min HaTorah? This is Din Mamonos. In the realm of monetary law, the Gemara tells us the Masech is Gidin. We have a rule called Hefker, Beis Din Hefker. And sometimes the Beis Din will change some of the Dinim of Din Mamonos, and they have the authority to do so. They feel fit. The Torah gives them the authority to do so. This is one of those examples where Chazal, in effect, changed what the Din Min HaTorah would have been in the realm of Din Mamonos. Min HaTorah, if I read the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu, and I would bring out a shtar and says, you owe me $1,000, and you would yell and scream, Mizuyah, if it's a forgery, you would lose. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to. Kiyum Shtaros is only Mid the Rabbanon. But Mid the Rabbanon, Chazal gave the ability for you to respond back, Mizuyah. So this kindness of Mizuyah that now exists, Mishnayas, and Gemaras, and Sugyas throughout Shas, called the response of Tainus Mezuyov, is a legitimate response to my document claim, which is now going to necessitate Kiyum Shtaros to literally authenticate the signatures. That claim of Mezuyov is only a claim that the Chachamim made up. It's what's called a Tainus Mederabbanan. Comes and tells the Rosh and says that when it comes to Tainus D'Araisa, then we're going to go out on a limb. We're going to say Taninon. If something is only a Taninon Mederabbanan anyway, as Tosa says, Tosa Rosh says, Kim Shtar Stone Mederabbanan, the Sveik Alot Taninon Mishimon Mizuyah. We're not going to Taina Mizuyah for you. If you say it yourself, that's great. And I'm with the Rabbanim, we're going to accept that claim. But for us to go out on a limb and to taina mezuyah for you, you're not here. We should say taina mezuyah. That we're not going to do. So says the Tosafot Rashi, that's the hesitation in Tosafot. That's the reason why we're not so convinced that taninan works. So again, we have this klal called taninan. We have a Tosafot that's claiming perhaps taninan doesn't work on mezuyah. We have no idea. Manishtana mezuyah from all other taninan. So one answer is it's a milsa lo shchicha. The other answer is it's a taina midrabanan.
I don't understand why that makes sense. The whole concept of
Tanina
is that
he has
a right to a defense.
Oh, I don't think the guy cares. Oh, Gavaldik, you're Mechavi Mamash in a bond cash, it's a rush. Say, what is this? Hilchus, Chris Abagilov, that was a Daraisa Drabon. This is Parsha Zohar. We have to know what's Daraisa, what's Drabon. What's the Daraisa Drabon? Tanina means that. Tanina, yeah, I don't. Yeah, we're assuming everyone's such a lamb. Oh, it's only Tanina Drabon. Okay, now I understand what it is. Tanina means that whatever words you could have said, we're going to say for you. Why do I care whether this is a deraisa response, a derabbanan response? At the end of the day, you could have said it. If you could have said it and you are not here, we should say it on your behalf. So this is Sister Torah. Sometimes some deep, dark, shrouded mystery that says the Taizer Rosh, because it's derabbanan, therefore we're not going to say Tanina. What in the world is that all about? What's the svar behind that? So we take a look.
I should be opposite though. The role of benefit is not interesting for the. That's what I'm saying. It's not the role. It's interesting for the one of the judge, the one of the father, the husband. Thing. So benefit needs these criteria. When do they step in? When do they not step in? For them to step in on a dinner one or a minute or some other reason, they have no right and authority to pass this. Whether his time is what it is.
So that 100%, that's good for the Nakud that we're trying to be owing on. Why does the fact that it's the Rabbani list, at the end of the day, if the fellow would have said the tide, he would have won. He would have, if I would say Mizuyev, I'm going to win the Dintar if you can't do Kim Sharas. Yeah. So if so, you know, it's a question, how do you look at the world? You look at the world as such a wondrous lens. You know, it's only there one in there, for we're not doing it. You look at the world and say, who cares? Why not? I mean, at the end of the day, if the other fellow could have said it, so we should send it there. So we have to fine tune a little bit what the Nakud of this Baal Tazir is.
But it's based on
the Tosafot
again that
the Shun Gune
equal Barabanan. So,
Hey, Mamru,
then that's why it's
Rabbanan.
Then we could be more
Mako. And so, Mishumi Gune is a kula that we're going to invoke it up with Kitab, but he told 1,000 cents. 1,000 cents, it's hard to use the phrase kula. It's a big kula for you, but it's a chumma for me. Whoever loses the money, he's going to be yelling and screaming, when to be machma for. So, it's hard to use kulas and chummas in the realm of the Nimamanis.
But
is it well, oh, yes, a whole nother ballgame. You're raising a question, a very, very legitimate question. Why are we, your question is, why are we learning the sugi right now? Well, I thought we're learning the sugi. I mean, that's never cash enough. That's why we're learning the sugi. But we're learning Gittin, and Gittin, isn't Gittin last we checked in Evan Ezer, not a Chashanish, but why have we been talking the language that you're having to a Ramban? That's going to be the next part of the sugi. I don't think we're going to get to that part of the sugi today. That's a major, major red flag in the entire sugi. Why are we learning Tanin about Dina Mamanas? We're talking about Masechus Gittin. Isn't Gittin not Mamanas? And we're going to have to come back to that question. So I just want to, just to isolate this one Akuda. The fact that something is the Rabbanon, where do we find the precedent that idea? Because it's the Rabbanon, therefore we're going to ignore it. Therefore we're not so interested in it. So let's take a look at the fourth of the Ramakamos. A basic question, a basic sugi relating to the issues of Mezuyah and other potential tainas, which is going to become almost an eye-opener for us in the sugi. It's going to be something we're going to hopefully come back to many times. So Gufa, the Gemara Ksuba that the Testament Aleph. Amar Rav Huna Marav, Modeh Bishtar Shekosvo Ein Tzorach Lekaimo. If I admit that a shtar was written, shtar is coming against me, saying I owe $1,000. If I admit that the shtar is a legitimate shtar, there's no need to be Mekayim the shtar. Sounds like a strange statement. If I admit, so of course the shtar is good shtar. If I admit I earned the money, but what's the question exactly? And the Gemara continues back to the bold print. Rav Nachman disagreed with Rav Huna and said, no, you have to do Kiyum Shtaras. Who's doing Kiyum Shtaras? The guy just said the shtar is good. What in the world? What's flying in the sugya? So we need a little bit of a background to understand. This is the Yisoda Yisodos of many things we're going to be talking about. Let's walk through a very simple Dinei Torah. Several supposed simple Dinei Torah. I come to you with a shtar that says you owe me $1,000. What possible responses do you have right now? So we said, Minat Torah, very, very little. But Lemaisa, Midna Rabban, Cheshire Mishpah, what responses do you have? So you have the response that the Kanas Chacham of Mezuyif. You can claim that it's Mezuyif, that's a forgery, necessitating me to do Kiyam Shtar. So I'll do Kiyam Shtar, and I'll be able to prove that it's not a forgery, I'm going to collect the money. So tithe number one in your back pocket is called Titus Mezuyif. What if you decide, rather than to tithe Mezuyif, you come forth with a different tithe? I come to you and I say, you owe me, it's a week before Rosh Hashanah, I'd like the money back, please. You owe me $1,000, and you respond as follows. I owed you, in the past tense, $1,000, but I paid back. I paid back last week. I already paid back the debt. I don't owe you anymore. What's the halacha? So it's my word against your word. I have to prove that you didn't pay back, right? No. So it comes in one and says, if I have a shtar, I have a document that says you owe me $1,000, and you respond by saying I pay back, you automatically lose. Why do you automatically lose? Because of the following Aramaic phrase, shtarcha biyadi, my boy, which means if you really paid back, why do I still have the document? Why didn't you insist on ripping up the document? Why didn't you insist on getting it receipted, please? Why do you insist on something? The fact that you let me continue to walk around with this document, this incriminating evidence against you, that is proof positive that you did not pay back the loan. And that's what the Gemara tells us, that when the other fellow claims parati, I paid back, parati loses in the presence of a shtar. So again, you had two possible defenses, two possible responses to my claim. My claim is, you owe me $1,000. Here's the document with the witnesses. No, you owe me $1,000. If you would have tied it Mezuyah, you would have been believed to necessitate Kiyam Shtaros. If you tied up Parati, all bets are off. That's not an acceptable response. So intrinsically, that's not an acceptable response. Shtach be on the right one. But now let's up the ante a little bit. Maybe we can give some credibility to your response to Parati. Credibility. It's a joke. It's a farce. Of course it's not true. Always. We can pull out of our hat a principle we spent a lot of time talking about last year, a three-letter word, magic word that can change all of the momentous, and that is what's called Migo. Migo basically means Migo. Migo, about 400 clubs of Migo, but the basic principle of Migo runs as follows. When I advance a claim in a Dintora that itself is not believable, in its own right, this response, this claim, this taina cannot be accepted by Beis Din. However, in theory, I could have advanced another claim. If I would have said something else, in fact, that something else would have been believed. But I didn't say that something else. Migo, I could have. So I'm believed to say A, even though A itself is a not acceptable response. A itself is not a believable response. But believe me to say A, Migo, that I could have said B. If I would have said B, I would have been believed. That's the parash, that's the sugya of Migo. Migo, believe me on A, Migo, I could have said B. That principle of Migo, that appears in sugyas and Baba Basra, Baba Tzia, and Ksubis, throughout Shas, such a principle exists, the principle called Migo. So comes the Gemara here and says, wait a second. When I take out a shtar, I take out a document against you that says you owe me $1,000, and you say that the shtar is parua, the shtar was paid back, that response in and of itself is meaningless because of the counterclaim, shtarch and beyond my boy. Obviously, you didn't pay back. So your words alone are not acceptable. But up your sleeve, you have a Migo. What's your Migo? Migo, you could have said, Mizuyah. If you would have said that the shtar is a forgery, you in fact would have been believed. Remember we said that Chazal gave you that ability to respond, Mizuyah. So Migo, you could have said, Mizuyah. And you would have been believed to say Mezuyah. If you choose to say Parua, we should turn around and believe you. Comes the Gemara and says, that point proper is a Machlokes Amoraim. And that's what's going on in Ksubis on Daf Yates of Aleph. Do we believe you to say A, Migo, you could have said B? Does that principle of Migo apply when the A and the B are Parua, Migo de Mezuyah? If we do accept your claim, Peru Amigo de Mezuyah. What is my recourse now? What is I, who has the document, what can I possibly do now to win the Din Torah? Very simple. I should go ahead and do Kiyam Shtaros. Because if I do kiyum shtaros, that yanks the migo out from under you. Because the minute that I do kiyum shtaros, you no longer have a migo demezuyof. Once you no longer have migo demezuyof, by default, you're going to lose the dintara. Your migo demezuyof was yanked out from under you. Your parua is not a good time anyway, because shtach be out of my body. So the recipe for me to win the dintara is a very, very simple one. Let me go be mekayim mishtar. So that's the machlokes nigamar. Do you have such a migo or not? Does that concept of parua migo demezuyof, does that register as an acceptable migo? The question is, why shouldn't it? What's wrong with the parua migo demezuyof? We learned all the klum of migo last year of Basra. What's lacking about that migo? What's wrong with the migo of parua migo demezuyof, according to some opinions? So it comes to Elsvis. In the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, and Tosfos asks, on that day in the Gemara, that this migo isn't acceptable. He asks Tosfos in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, V'yim Tomar, U'may time alo meheimah b'migo d'ibayo mizuyah. What's wrong with the migo? If we had a blackboard here, I draw you two claims of the blackboard. Claim number one is parua. That's what I'm saying. Claim number two is mizuyah. That's from one to two. Believe me, to say the first claim, migo, I could have said mizuyah. What is lacking? What is deficient about that migo? So Tosfos quotes V'yesh Lomar, so we remember from last year, every time we saw the principle of Migo, we always translated Migo as follows. Believe me to say A, because I could have said B, but we added a phrase, if you recall, for I could have said B. Believe me to say A, because I could have, the three words, just as easily said B. The principle of Migo means, I'm most probably telling the truth, because if I would have wanted to lie, I had an easy lie, an easy way out. When does Migo apply, says Tosfos? When I had an easy way out. When the lie that I would have said would have been smooth, comfortable, I wouldn't have to sweat about saying that lie. But if I would be very, very uncomfortable to say that lie, such as here, I'm scared to say that lie. I'm going to say Mizuyah is going to be very easily disproven. Migo, I could have said Mizuyah. In 10 minutes, if we can aid them, we're going to be Mekayim Mishtar. We'll look like a fool in Beis Din. Or instead of fool, we're like a liar in Beis Din. So a guy's going to shake before he says Mizuyah. That's not a Migo, says Tosfos. Believe me to say A, Migo, I could have said B, but Medivar Mamurim, but it's just as easily to say B. The minute that there's some incentive for me not to say B, Ois Migo, the Migo goes up in the smoke. That's the reason why the Migo fails us in this idea. But that's not the part that we want to set the answer to this. Comes to us and says, Upirish HaKuntris B'mokam Achim. Rashi says somewhere else, and I don't know where it's somewhere else, but those were the grandchildren, great-grandchildren of Rashi. So somewhere Rashi, they had a comment of Rashi. Rashi says the following, this is the deep, dark secret, why we don't say Migo. The time of Mishum, the Dvar Torah, ain't Tzarech Kiyum. Min HaTorah, there's no need to be Mekayim Dishtar. Remember the principle, the aid the machasum al ashtar nasa kamish nechor dis mevezdim min ha Torah. It's as if it's a full fledged edus. The rabban who datzuchu kiyum and the chachamim said yachnu kiyum ki ta'in mezuyaf. If you say mezuyaf, then we're going to require kiyum. Avah b'shar tainos v'yom parua lo itichu kiyum achenir levi. Says Tosfos. The din in the Rabbanon that you can say mezuyah, that means if you avail yourself of that title in the Rabbanon, if you say the words mezuyah, we have to reckon with that. We cannot ignore it. We cannot close our ears to what you're saying. Min HaTorah, we can. Moshe Rabbeinu would have no qualms listening to you say mezuyah, go jump in the lake. Mezuyah is meaningless in the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu. But with the Rabbanon, Chazal changed the rules a little bit, and they did give some degree of credibility to mezuyah. But, says Tosfos, here's the important but for our purposes, but, if you said it, for us to play games and to imagine you could have said it, should have said it, would have said it, but didn't say it. Takonis midirabbanon, kindness midirabbanon have to be said. If you say them, we're going to accept you. For us to put words into your mouth that you could have said it, alzen ne'amar anan lotu. We're not gonna make up a Migo for you. Migo means we're reading into you. We're going behind the scenes. We're looking into your subconscious, what you could have, should have, would have said. That's not how the Kanas and Chamim would work. L'chora, what Tosfos is saying in Ksubas Daf Yutes is exactly what the Tosfos Rosh is saying in Gittin Beis. Tosfos in Ksubas Yutes is talking about the sugya of Migo, and Tosfos Rosh is talking about the sugya of Ta'aninan. But if you think about it, there's a similarity between the two sugyas. Both Migo and Ta'aninan are mechanisms in Dinei Torah where you could potentially win without saying anything. In Ta'aninan, you don't say anything. You know why? Because you don't know what to say. So we, quote unquote, say it for you. In Migo, that's exactly what a Migo is. Believe me, that's what I didn't say. Believe me on a title that I didn't put forth. Anytime we have to go into our words, we have to start to put words into your mouth. Words into your mouth, if the taina is only a taina midrabanan, that's not what we do. So the same way that the Tosa Rosh said that we don't say taninan on a taina midrabanan, Tosas and Ksubas that your Tosa is suggesting we don't say migo on a taina midrabanan either. But what is that based on? It almost just pushes the question back a little bit. Instead of having a statement of the Tosa Rosh that we didn't understand, now we have two Mishnah we don't understand. So the same way we didn't understand the Tosa Rosh that says the rabbanans are different, Tosa Ksuba says the rabbanans are different. What is this all about? What is the heart and soul of this entire sugya? Why don't we say things just because they're rabbanan? So there is a sugya, I didn't put on the Mamre Karmis, but there is a sugya that appears in the third Pech of Masechet Kiddushin. The backgrounds of the sugya are two halachas. The Mishnah tells us the Masechet Kiddushin that if a father comes forward and he says he married off his little girl, she's either a ketana or not, up to the age of 12 and a half, technically speaking, the father has that monos to say such a thing. It's beating a sadly shazet. Nobody should ever do such a thing. You get in a lot of trouble. A person comes to Beis Din today and makes such a statement. It was a Meshuggah a couple of years ago who did such a thing. It's crazy. I think it made it through the New York Times when I was thinking. Some Meshuggah who was trying to use it as leverage in a get settlement. So he went ahead and told his wife, if you don't listen to such and such, I'm going to come to Beis Din and tell that I married off my 6-year-old daughter. I'm a Meshuggah. But again, there's a diminutive as beaten a sati la'isha zeh. So the Mishnah says, if the father comes and says he married off his daughter, technically he has them ones. However, what if a father comes and he says that his little girl was a shvuya? Shvuya means that she was taken captive. And anytime a person was taken captive by the non-Jews, they become psula to marry a Kohen because we're afraid that she may have been attacked by a non-Jew, which would potentially disqualify her from marrying a Kohen. So the Mishnah says, if a father says, my daughter was taken as a captive, ain't on that one. The Gemara says, what's the difference? Why is he believed to say Kedash Yefidi and not believed to say, can my daughter's Psula Kahuna? Says the Gemara, the Kedushin Hemne Rachamona, Bishvuya Lemne Rachamona, Kasha Rakesh Brachas. The Torah says in Bashki Seites, beat it as something, so that's the din. How's that the father's believe? The Torah doesn't say that the father's any Nemonis in other areas, so the man is not believed. That's what the Mishnah says. That's what the Gemara says. The Rishonim don't stop there. Rishonim have a strange passion. Rishonim say, wait a second. Let's believe him to say she's Psula Kahuna. Migo, he could have said he married her and divorced her. Which would make him Psula Kahuna. He has a Migo. We usually think Migos are Dinei Torah, but Migos were called Torah Kula. Let's believe him in what he's saying. Let him believe to say she's Psula to marry a Kohen. Migo, he could have made him Psula to marry a Kohen by being Makadosh, being Magarish. So quotes the Ran in Masechet Kiddushin. You don't say Migo under those circumstances. You know why? The nemanis of a father to say that he married off his daughter is what we call in halacha a chiddush. In halacha, we have 99% of Dinei Torah, not such grandiose chiddushim. They fit into pieces of a puzzle, the basic pictures, the basic surah of halacha. And every once in a while, there's a quirk, there's a blip on the radar screen. There's something which is out of the ordinary. The Kadosh Baruch Hu throws at us a chok, throws at us paraduma. He throws at us a din that doesn't seem to fit into our regular understanding of the world of halacha. Says the Gemara, says the Ran, that this halacha, that a father is believed to say that he married off his daughter, this is a tremendous chiddush. First of all, he's an ein echad. He's a father. Davar she'erva requires two eidim. This whole thing is a chiddush. So yeah, I read Pashat Ki Seitzei, what am I going to do? Torah said it. What can I do? But it's an isolated halacha, says the Ran. And when you have an isolated halacha, that's called the chiddush. And we have a rule, ein l'chabo el chiddusho. When something is out of the ordinary, when something is strange, when something is bizarre, if it's there, it's there. I can't ignore it. The father says it, he says it. But I'm not going to go running and put words into somebody's mouth. I'm not going to use that as a mino. So a very sadistic point in Iran, that sometimes you could have a statement in halacha that is acceptable. I can't deny it. It is an acceptable claim. But if it's bizarre, if it's strange, if it's something that, not because it's bizarre, because it's unlikely, not because it's l'shchicha, it's bizarre because it's not part of the regular Kvali Torah. It's in that kind of box, that separate and distinct area of what we call chidushim. We plug in the rule called Eilecha Ba'el Chidushim. You said it, you said it, you didn't say it, you didn't say it. That seems to be what's going on behind these two tesis. Tainus Mezuyos is, and I'm not talking about whether it's a statistically possible tain. I'm not talking about l'shchicha. It's a halachically bizarre response. It's such a halachically bizarre response that in a Torah, the Taka doesn't exist. It's meaning Moshe Rabbeinu would laugh at Tainus Mezuyos. Never heard of Tainus Mezuyos. But Chazal, for whatever reason, whatever Hefkebezev, whatever technical reason they instituted as a response, it is a bizarre response. It is a chiddushik response. It's something that doesn't meet the regular rules. The regular rules of Dinei Mamonos are a shtar wins. The regular, normal, standard rules of Dinei Mamonos are Eidem HaChasum L'Hashtar Nasech Mishnech L'Dus Mubezev. But Chazal created this Mechudushik Taina called Mezuyav. Mechudushik Taina, that's wonderful. If you say it, we can't close our ears to it. We have to deal with it. We have to reckon with it. But if you didn't say it, you want us to say it for you? For us to say it for you, that's called Eilecha Ba'el Chidushim. What are examples of us saying something for you? There are two examples. One is Taninan and one is Migo. Both Taninan and Migo are examples where you didn't say it. We're saying it for you. In one case, we're saying it for you because you're not here. In the other case, we're saying it for you based on the principle of Migo. Migo and Taninan are great and powerful. They're the greatest things under the sun in terms of the Dinimamnus, the normal Tainus. The minute you end and you leave the world of regular Dinei Torah and you're in the extra curricular field of Dinei Torah with bizarre things, with strange Tainus, with strange halachas that don't fit into the regular realm of Tainus, what are some examples of those strange Tainus? As Bitin Asatri Shazaz, a strange claim in Beis Din. Mezuyof is a bizarre claim in Beis Din. So whatever is out of the box of normally, of being normal, so we have two different approaches in the Gedolia. We showed him why we don't say Taninan on Mezuyah, assuming that we don't. Either because it's statistically a Milsav Lo Shchicha, or because it's a halachically a Chiddush. So according to the first day of the Taz Arash, we're in the world of Metzias, in the world of the statisticians. According to the second day of the Taz Arash, in the world of the Beis Medrash. I always tell the Bracha of Yeshiva, this is what we call a pre-3 o'clock Shaila or a post-3 o'clock Shaila, only because in YU, the cutoff point between Torah Ma'ad is 3 o'clock. So sometimes the Svar is it's a pure halachic issue. That's the second approach. Or it's a statistical. It's like for the math courses. Statistically, it's unlikely, therefore we're not going to take Taninan on. It's two very, very different approaches conceptually. What's wrong with Taninan and Essen? So hopefully, Beit Hashem, tomorrow we'll go back to Kiyas, but Beit Hashem on Friday, let's go back to the drawing board to figure out. Forget about Taninan. Are there other factors that should be playing out in that sugya?